seek to serve you. May you find in me what's pleasing to your heart.
I leave my will at Calvary, taking on a nature humbled by your scars.
For I know it's only through your love that who I am is hidden by your grace.
Let my desires be overshadowed as I recall the purpose of that place. Hide me behind the cross, where my gains become as loss, and only your glory is in view. Your power will be revealed the more that I am concealed. Hide me behind the cross so the world sees only you.
If I relied on my strength to be a source of hope to those in need,
the only profit I would gain would be the empty honor of my deed.
But with all of self behind your cross, the splendor of your love stands free to shine.
Illuminated with your power, reaching souls so you alone are glorified.
Tell you one thing, if we live the truth behind that song, it transforms your life. We're here for one purpose and one purpose only, and that's to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Great, great song, man. Great song. Great truth behind that song. Well, we have a special treat for you tonight. This past Friday and Saturday, I took a group of men down to the Pot of Gold Youth Ranch to the annual sportsman's banquet hosted by the camp. The special guest speaker last year and this year was Brother Cecil Ballard. Brother Ballard pastors up in Marion, Iowa, got a great work there. And after church, maybe he'll show you what his house and his front yard looked like when he left there the other day. You could barely see his car for the snow on the ground. But our pastor has invited him to stay over and to be a part of our evening service, to come to preach to us, to encourage us in the Lord. And I hope that if this is your first time to be here, to hear Brother Ballard preach, that after the service you'll get by, introduce yourself, pray for him and the ministry there in his church in Marion, Iowa. Brother Cecil, God bless you, my friend. It's been a pleasure. Is the green light on?
Green light. On, brother. I am okay. On target. He got the whole world in His hands. Those of you that have to understand, let me tell you the story behind that. Can I do that? Can I do that real quick? All right. I'll just take a minute. Brother Clayton, you don't start the clock yet, all right? Brother Clayton's on me. He said if I got through by 8 o'clock, he would double my love offering. So I personally, and so I'm going to be working overtime, so I want you to hurry. I'm turning the Bible over. All right. But I'll tell you just real briefly, because I got to get over here, because I don't have the Bible memorized, Brother Smith. But it was the first day. I've never spoken in a college chapel before, and it's several years ago. And Brother Gomez had invited me up to Providence Baptist College to speak, and later I began teaching at the college there. And so Brother Coombs, you may have been there at the time. You and Miss Melissa may have been there at the time. We were in the the chapel at the facilities there on the property. And so, you know, I get up to the pulpit, and you know how serious I am. I get up to the pulpit, and I had everybody turn to Galatians chapter 1, and I read in verse 16, it says, "For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him." And then I looked as stern as I could to the student body, and I said, "Do you know what that means?" And then behind me, the faculty saying, "Tell them, brother, amen." I said, "Do you know what that verse means? Every one of you should know what that verse means." Amen, 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 coming from the choir back here, the faculty. I said, "You look up here at me. I'm going to tell you what that verse means, and I don't want you ever to forget this. This could change your life, your ministry, forever. What that means is He's got the whole world in His hands." And these guys back here were just floored. I mean, they just died. They were thinking, "Come on, brother." And then out there, and of course, we broke in and all the different languages. Well, a few years ago at camp, we started that. And so I can't go anywhere without having that favorite hymn of the faith sung. I almost felt bad. I figured if Brother Ben could play "Sally Let Your Bangs Hang Down," I ought to be able to sing "He's Got the Whole World in His Hands." I mean, I was thinking, man, I know that song. I've heard that song before. I heard it. I know. Andy Griffith. Had to be one of the episodes in the earlier years. But I promise you, I believe. Brother Sheffield, you may have to correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that's "Sally Let Your Bangs Hang Down." And of course, that was a number one song. Brother Sheffield, he wouldn't lie to you unless it helped him. I think it's like 1912 or something like that. But boy, it was a blessing. Well, it's good to be here at the Trinity Baptist Church again in Arlington, Texas. And you know, Brother Smith asked me to come, and notice he's not here, right? He said, "I had enough of you, Ballard. I'll go away." But I do appreciate Preacher. Of course, he takes care of a lot of the drag up expenses for the meeting and so forth, and trying to the sportsman, I guess, dinner banquet, tries to introduce other preachers and men in other churches to the camp there, and to just kind of show and share the needs there. And so I was privileged to come down these last couple of years, and it's been a blessing. But I appreciate Brother Smith, Brother Ogden, Brother Howe, and all they do to make our stay here comfortable. And of course, they allow us to come and preach to you folks. And I guess for them, it's a blessing. For you, it might be a curse having to listen to me. But I praise the Lord for this church and for Brother Smith. For those of you who don't know, Brother Smith was my pastor when I was growing up as a young person. From the time I was about 10 to the time I was 16 years old, he was the pastor of the Central Baptist Church there in Baton Rouge. And that's where I attended church. My mother still attends church there, and where my sister and brother and I grew up. And so I thank the Lord for the ministry of Brother Smith and his influence on my life. And he allowed me to come to youth camp And that's one of the highlights of my whole ministry, to be able to spend that week with him and that week with your young people and other young people. And, buddy, we have a time, man. There's nothing like camp time. And you just have to catch the spirit of camp. And if you have never gone to Pot of Gold Youth Camp, I encourage you to go. Get behind Brother Tom, Miss Christy, and support some kids. Send them. If you parents don't send your kids to camp, shame on you. You need to send your kids to camp. Many, many decisions are made at youth camp. And so please do that. If you have your Bible, and I'm sure you do, just turn over to 1 Samuel 17 and don't stand yet. We'll read that in just a bit. I'd returned from the Holy Land just a couple of weeks ago, and it was my privilege to go with Brother Sharp. And, of course, you probably heard through Brother Sharp the different things that are going on in Israel regarding getting Bibles on these military bases, the purchase of these shipping containers. They're about 40 foot by about 8 foot or so. And we were able to go to a dedication to one of those libraries recently. And I tell you, that is an amazing thing to see, that on these military bases, these beautiful library containers have been purchased by local churches and some individuals, and there they become property of the Israeli Defense Force. And wherever they go, this is a part of their issue. Just like one of the tanks or just like one of the aircraft, this becomes a part of that unit. And you have those Bibles in there, Hebrew, Old and New Testament, and it's just a blessing. And to be able to sit down and talk with those Israeli soldiers and explain our interest, our relationship, and to be able to witness to them is an amazing thing. And if you ever have a chance to go, I would encourage you to go. Brother Sharp, of course, can give you more information about that. And so you pray for him and what's going on there. But since I was there, it reminded me of a story. This couple, they were celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary. Now, this couple was like some of you. They were just kind of ornery and cantankerous, all right? She had her way of doing things. He had his way of doing things. And to be honest with you, there were times where she was just a crank. Can you relate to that? Don't say amen there, all right? No. And so he thought, man, I'll do something for my wife. And so she had wanted to go to the Holy Land. And so she, on their 50th anniversary, was taken to the Holy Land. And they were going through the country, and they were enjoying the sights. And they were seeing, you know, the Sea of Galilee, and they were visiting the old city. They saw the Western Wall, and they had gone to the Mount of Olives. And all of a sudden, she felt faint, and I'm sorry to tell you, but she died over there in the Holy Land on their 50th anniversary. Well, the funeral director said to the older man, said, "Sir, I'm so sorry for your loss, but I have some good news. If you send your wife back to the States for a burial, it's going to cost you over $8,000. But we have a special. Here in the Holy Land, we'd be willing to bury your wife for $150. The older man said, "No, sir. No, sir. I want to pay the $8,000 to ship my wife home." Well, the funeral director said, "Sir, I don't understand. $8,000. And your wife could be buried here in this lovely place for $150. Nope, nope, absolutely not." Well, the funeral director, he was baffled. He said, "Sir, why is it that you will not allow us to bury your wife here in this holy place?" He said, "Mister, I heard a long time ago that there was a guy that lived. He was crucified. He was buried. And 3 days later, he rose from the dead. I'm not taking any chances." Now, I hope that you don't relate to that tonight. I really don't. You know, I did have to tell you a story or two. You may have heard this one, but this is the great state of Texas, is it not? The great state of Texas is known for a lot of wonderful things. I mean, here in the great state of Texas, I mean, you folks are responsible for chili, all right, and other staples of life that have helped the economy, I'm sure. But listen to this story. After having dug to a depth of 1,000 meters last year, Scottish scientists found traces of copper wire dating back 1,000 years and came to the conclusion that their ancestors already had telephone network more than 1,000 years ago. Not to be outdone by the Scots, in the weeks that followed, the English science dug to a depth of 2,000 meters, and shortly after, headlines in the UK read, English archaeologists have found traces of 2,000-year-old copper wire and have concluded that their ancestors already had advanced high-tech communication networks 1,000 years earlier than the Scots. 1 week later, Texas newspaper reported the following. After digging as deep as 5,000 meters in West Texas, Texas A&M scientists have found absolutely nothing. They have therefore concluded that 5,000 years ago, Texas inhabitants were already using wireless technology. So that's got to be a blessing for you dear folks. Well, I do bring you greetings from Iowa, the land of the frozen chosen. And as Brother Lassiter said, it was about a foot and a half of snow on the yard and in the driveway when I left. And I'm telling you, when I first got down here, landed at the DFW airport, I mean, all I did was look out in amazement. I'm saying, there's grass, the sun, warmth. I thought, this is great. I mean, just that sensation of wow, this is great. You folks probably take it for granted, you know. But man, every week for about the last 6 or 8 weeks, we had freezing rain, snow, sleet, sub-zero weather. I mean, it's been unbelievable. So just to see grass is really a comfort to my soul. Now you'd think with all of that that's going on, all that cold weather, that our population would increase in Iowa. You know, the snuggle alerts and all of that. But you got to remember, the average age of a citizen in Iowa is 85, so you go figure. Of course, Brother Tom and Miss Christy could move there, and maybe they could help us out. They'd fit in pretty good. But it is good to be here, good to see many of our friends, good to get reacquainted with some of the young people again. And, of course, your staff is a fine, fine group of men, and it's a joy to be around them. All right, now let's go ahead and look into our Bible, 1 Samuel chapter 17. I'm on the clock. I've got to hurry. I know that Brother Clayton is watching. If you'd like to stand and join with me, I'll read aloud as you follow, if you're able to. If not, I understand. But I want to begin reading here in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse number 20. The Bible says, "And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host, and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion of the Philistines of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines and spake according to the same words. And David heard him. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid." I'd like to draw your attention back to verse number 20 for our text. "And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle." The other day I was in mission conference, and one of the men in school chapel had preached a message out of 1 Samuel chapter 17. And as he was reading the text, he came to this verse, and it was just as if the Spirit of God said, "There's something there I want you to glean." And it was these couple of words. He shouted for the battle. He shouted for the battle. I want to speak to you on this thought for just a little while tonight, Don't let your shout go out. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this good church, and I thank you for this good pastor, and I do pray for Brother Smith. I thank you, Lord. Use him there in California this week to be a blessing to those folks. And Lord, thank you for the good staff here, these men, the leadership, their families, and Lord, the sweet spirit of this church. Lord, I don't know if this church completely understands the influence that they have on the United States and around the world. Perhaps they do. But we look to them and we emulate many things that they do, and we look to them for encouragement. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd continue to bless and to keep them strong and continue to allow them to be the example that they have been for all of these years. Lord, bless, I pray, encourage our hearts in the Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't let your shout die out. Now, I think at times that I'm enthusiastic or energetic, or at least I like to think I am. As I get older, I begin to rethink that just a little bit. But the truth is, when you think about a shout, David shouted for the battle. I want to just kind of focus in on that idea, and I want to focus in on that word. When you think about the word shout, David shouted for the battle. I think you need to consider these things. I believe when David shouted for the battle, it denoted his heart. It denoted his spirit. It denoted his anticipation, his purpose, his enthusiasm, his fire, if you will, his desire. Now, we know, and we're familiar with this account in Scripture. We've read it countless times. We've heard it preached numbers of times, how that Goliath had made his appearance before the enemies of Israel, and he challenged and said, "Give me a man to fight." And none, of course, would step forward. And this went on for what seemed like an ever and a day. And finally, David comes to the battle there, and he's sent by his father Jesse. And it wasn't until David came forth that something was accomplished. But when David came upon the battlefield and saw all that was going on, he shouted for that battle. He was anticipating something happening for the glory of God. Hey, he demonstrated some spirit, some enthusiasm, some love, some patriotism, some concern. And so when I talk about don't lose your shout, I'm talking about don't lose your heart. Don't lose your spirit. Don't lose that fire. Don't lose that desire. I'm telling you, too many Christians are today. Too many Christians are getting caught up with other things. Their interests have turned to other endeavors other than the Bible and the work of the local church and soul winning and serving God. Hey, there was a day when the largest churches, and you know it, in our cities and in our states were fundamental independent Baptist churches. Could it be that some Christians have just let their shout die out? Hey, we need to purpose not to let our shout die out. When I think about those with the shout, I think of Caleb. The Bible says that Caleb had another spirit. He had another spirit. Oh, when he was just in his, just a young man, we know that he was chosen to spy out the land of Canaan. He came back, and along with Joshua, he gave a good report. But we note that the majority turned the hearts of the people. That teaches us that the majority is not always right, is it? And we see that Caleb, the Bible tells us, had another spirit. What kind of spirit did he have? I tell you what, he had a shout. And bless God, at 85 years of age, you couldn't put his shout out. He had some spirit. He had some fire. He had some enthusiasm. He had heart. When I think about the shout, of course, I think of David. The Bible says about David that he was a man after God's own heart. When I think about the shout, I think of Daniel, who purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. Hey, when I think about the shout, I think about the Apostle Paul, whose heart's desire was that Israel, his people, be saved. See, we don't need to let the shout die out. Billy Sunday said, "Enthusiasm is as a good a thing in the church as a fire in a cook stove." I'm telling you why. What does fire in a cook stove represent? I tell you what, it represents life. It represents a home. It represents a family. Oh, I heard Brother Gomez many a time say one of the hardest things that he anticipates is returning home to a dark house, an empty box. Why? There's no warmth. There's no comfort. Why? Because his helpmeet for all those years is in heaven. Hey, when you see that enthusiasm in that cook stove, it means there's life. There's something happening. And even Billy Sunday, the evangelist, saw the importance of having your shout. Having some spirit. Having some heart. Having some enthusiasm. Having some fire. Having desire. Now let me make this clear. When I refer to shout, I'm not just talking about emotion. I'm not just talking about wildfire. Now bless the Lord, many times we let the charismatics take our shout away. And that ought not be. Hey, nobody ought to enjoy a church more than we Baptist believers. Amen? Hey, nobody ought to enjoy the singing. Nobody enjoy the worship. Nobody ought to enjoy the preaching more than God's people should. We ought not let them intimidate us, take our shout out. Hey, say a good glory to God. Say a good hallelujah. Kick the devil in the seat of the pants. Amen? Tell you what, I'm not impressed with people that sit like wooden Indians. I'm not impressed with somebody with a stone face. Bless the Lord, I like to see a smile. And some ought to smile. Be careful, it might crack the rest of your face. But you ought to smile, amen? You ought to nod your head up and down. Man, I love it when I'm preaching and I'm looking out there and I'm waxing an elephant. I mean, I'm going at it. And some old dear saint of God is out there with me. Now, she might have Parkinson, but that's all right. I'll take that. I'll take that. I had an elementary school teacher, her name was Miss Ruth. She had Parkinson's. She walked like this all the time, you know. But that's all right. And I'm just saying, hey, you ought to enjoy the house. You ought to be helping the preacher. Amen. I like somebody waved a handkerchief early. Somebody stuck up a sign. Hey, glory to God, don't lose your shout. Amen. Not talking about, well, you know, when I talk about shout, it's more of an attitude. It's as much as an attitude. When David came forth to the battle, bless his heart. I mean, he hadn't been there. He hadn't been there to see the threats. He hadn't been there to hear all of the mully grubbing and the complaining that was going on between the troops. He just showed up he's thinking, man, this is going to be good. This is Texas A&M and the University of Texas right here, buddy. Woo-wee! And I understand that that's a pretty good rivalry down here. Do we have any Longhorn fans here? Do we have any Aggie fans here? Now, bless the Lord, you ain't right with God if you get more excited about your Aggies and your Longhorns and you don't get excited about Jesus Christ and the house of God and serving the Lord. How many of you ever painted your face? How many of you ever wore a sweatshirt or the colors? How many of you got the fight song on your ringtone? Oh, yeah. You're a fanatic. Uh-huh. You a fanatic. You know, you'd be out there if it was raining. You'd be out there if it was sleeting. You'd be out there if it's snowing. Why? Because this is a big game. Bless the Lord. We ain't going to be called dead out somewhere else other than at the game. And if you can't go to the game, you've cleared your schedule and you got everybody out of the living room. You got the kids farmed out. I mean, you got everybody. And you got that small 52-inch screen out there. Plasma, no less. High definition. I mean, you can see the warts on their face. You count the laces on the ball. You get excited. You get enthusiastic. So we know what it is. Brother Ogden was telling me the other day, he said, Brother Ballard, man, you'd think it was like cultish, you know. He said, Brother Ballard, I went to a Texas A&M, Texas Tech game. It's cold. Fog set in. There's so many people, they set us in chairs around. He said, I took my mother, I think she's about 90 years old, said, took my mother, had to take her back in, it got cold. I'm thinking, what are you doing taking your dear mother to a game like that? She's a fan too. Blood runs deep here in Texas, man. Loyalties, talk about shout. Brother Audley said, Brother Ballard, you have to be there, you have to get there an hour too early. Hour too early? He says, yeah. Because in the distance, you hear the band getting together and they're getting all the troops and the cadets are coming. And he said, man, they start making their way through there. And oh, man, I thought he was going to pass out when he was telling me that. He said, brother, you ain't seen nothing. Boy, with that Corps cadet, they snap too. They got that polished brass and those white gloves and they got all that. Woo! Man, he'd come unglued, man. Those people, why that? They're into that. They got a shout. There's an anticipation. They've given their heart. Bless the Lord. If we get more excited to that than the work of God, shame on us. Man, help us. David had some fire. Would to God we get Christians with that kind of spirit. Hey, don't let your shout die out. Hey, the most important work is what goes on here. I mean, souls being saved, the Word of God being preached, the songs of the faith being sung. Hey, this is God's business. This is the most important business. We ought to be shouting about it, amen. You know, I've made some observations, and even you see in this account in the Scripture, you know, there's some, obviously, that never had a shout. I got one word for them. They're dead. They're just dead. Graveyard dead. Bone dry dead. We see there in the Scripture in verse 10, that chapter 17, and the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. They didn't have any shout. They didn't have any spirit. Their heart had fainted within them. Hey, there was no sense of urgency there. They were dead. Then some have lost their shout. Verse 23 and 24. David's beginning to talk to his brothers. David's beginning to talk to others. We already read, and here Goliath comes up. Verse 24, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. I got one word for these folks. They got discouraged. And I'll tell you what, when you get discouraged, you begin to lose your shout. Hey, and you know what? You just need to encourage yourself in the Lord. So many times, I know this is not deep, but you can see one team in the course of a game, they lose momentum. Things begin to fall apart. And they say, boy, you can hear a pin drop over there. Oh, it's silent. We got some high school. I've been going to some of these basketball games and getting ready for a state tournament we just had last week. Had one of our boys that was playing basketball. And they have cheer. Why so quiet? Bah, 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 bah. Why so quiet? Bah, bah, bah. You know, I think the devil's going around to some of us Christians. Why so quiet? Why so quiet? Where's your shout? Where's your heart? Hey, where's your emotion? Where's your spirit? Where's your desire? Where's your anticipation? Where's the thrill of serving God? Why so quiet? And some folk just, they lost their shout. They got discouraged. Then I make this observation. Some have become critical of others with a shout. You know, I look over here at verse number 28. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why comest thou down hither with those, with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? He said, I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thy heart. Now here's a young man that had some shout. And all of a sudden we see here's one that got jealous, or we got one that became critical because of the shout of someone else. Now, I got one word for this fellow. He's disturbed. Something's disturbed him. He's going to justify why he's a moss back. He's going to justify why he doesn't get emotional. He's going to justify why he doesn't have a smile on his face. Well, I'm just going through it. I'm just under the circumstances. I got one word. Get out from under there. Hey, it's all tough. Hey, there are people have cancer. There are people lost their spouse. Hey, there are people that are dealing with financial reversals. There are things that are going on. There's health. There's finances. There's children problems, marriage problems. There's all kinds of things. And a Christian can't afford to just get out underneath, get under the circumstance. Get out from under there. Hey, we still got a God in heaven. Hey, God's still good. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord's done. Now, I know we all can get to that point. We can get discouraged. I know that. Things can disappoint us. I know that. There are things that can come in our life that can disturb us. And if we're not careful, they'll take away our shout. Don't let your shout go out. Some have let their shout become a squeak. You say, what do you mean? All right, look over at verse number 33. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. Now it just seems to me that the one who should have been out in the forefront of the battle here should have been this big boy right here. He was head and shoulders over everybody else. He was the king. He should have set the example. And there was a time in his life where he had a shout. Hey, there was a time in his life where he was little in his own eyes. And there was a time in his life where he wasn't so proudful and haughty. And there was a time in his life when he would have gone. He had a shout, but his shout began to die out. And it went from just nothing, or it began to die out, and all he had now was a squeak. Where are you at? Do you have a shout? Have you lost your shout? Have you been critical of those who have a shout? Have you let your shout be reduced to a squeak? Sometimes this is called by discouragement. But then, bless the Lord, some refuse to let their shout die out. Verse number 32. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Now I'm going to give you some of Brother Smith's possumology right there. That right there means to me, don't get your bowels in the uproar. Now, I'm not sure I know what that means, but I've heard preachers say it a dozen million times. I'm not sure if it's appropriate. It's going over in the internet. If it's not, screen that. Cut that. But it's true. He said, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and will fight this Philistine. Here's a man that said, you know what? I'm not gonna let that shout die out. Aren't you glad of that testimony? How many times has that story given us inspiration? How many times have we told our kids about that young man who took those five stones and that sling, and he'd run forth to the battle in the power of the Spirit of God, declaring that the battle is the Lord's? And how many times in our classes, on our bus routes, or in teen meetings and revivals, boy, we've heard the preacher say, he round and round and round and round, and he let that stone fly, and it took its place right in the forehead of Goliath, and Goliath fell forward. Boy, we've all received encouragement from that. You know what made it possible? The boy wouldn't let his shout die out. Listen, I know it can be tough. Some of you are in Bible college, and I know it can get tough. Hey, I remember the days. I remember going to work, and I remember going to college, and I remember getting just a few hours of sleep, and I remember there was more month at the, no money at the end of the month. I know all of those things. I remember what it was like having kids going through Bible college and a sick baby at that, and walking the floor and running from here to yon, having tests made and questioning whether or not I made the biggest mistake in my life. But I want to tell you something. Through all of that, I purpose not to let the shout die out. Huh? You say, well, let me explain that a little further. It's kind of like those of us that believe in this old country. When we put our hand over our heart, when we salute that red, white, and blue, does that chill still come up on your neck? When you hear the national anthem and you see those colors raised and you see that flag blowing in the breeze and you recognize that you are experiencing liberty, isn't there something in you that just wants to shout? See, it ain't died out. It hasn't died out. Well, friend, we got a banner that's, pardon this, but we got a banner, a bloodstained banner, that's far more important than even that one right there. That doesn't just give us liberty in the land, but it gives us liberty to our soul. And pray tell me, why are we going to be content to allow circumstances and things and people and worry to take away the chills and just the joy of being saved? Don't let your shout die out. Don't let your shout die out. Well, I'll give you a few things that might help you to keep your shout. Number one, make sure you align yourself with the Father's will. Align yourself with the Father's will. Verse number 17 is interesting. And Jesse said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn, and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren. Whose idea was it for David to go to the forefront of the battle? It wasn't his. It was his father's. You know, when Eliab, his brother, said, I know the naughtiness of thy heart. No, he didn't. When he said, I know thy pride. I know why you've come. No, he didn't. The only reason he was there is because of his father. He said, hey, I want you to go. I want you to take the pledge of your brother. I want you to bring these meats. I want you to bring those sheets. I want you to see how your brother fares. David was in the forefront of the battle or in the midst of that situation because that's what his Father had arranged for him. You know, the best thing we can do to keep our shout is to get into the Father's will. I heard a definition the other day of success, and I like it. I wish I'd have thought of it. I didn't. But it's good. Success is getting in the will of God as soon as you possibly can and staying there the rest of your life. I thought, boy, that's good. That is good. Now, if you don't get anything out of this message tonight, you ought to write that down. Success is getting in the will of God as soon as you possibly can and staying there the rest of your life. You want to keep the shout? And stay in the will of God. I'm not saying wildfire. I'm not saying your heart won't hurt. I'm not saying you won't have hardships and difficulties. But I'm saying that there's a spirit that God will put in you as you're doing the will of God that will not go out. Second thing, real quickly. If you want to see to it that your shout doesn't die out, allow yourself to grow from adversity. Allow yourself to grow from adversity. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Verse number 28. We see here that Eliab, David's older brother, criticized him. He tried to put a damper on his fire, a damper on his spirit. You see, there was some adversity there. I'm sure David looked up to his older brother. Any younger brother has a certain degree of respect for the older brother. And he really, in his heart and his mind, wants somehow to demonstrate his worthiness to his older brother. And in this instance, Eliab looked at his youngest brother, his baby brother, and says, "You're just a naughty punk kid. You're just a prideful kid. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you're talking about." There was some adversity. You know, there are times when we as dads can say some pretty harsh things to our children, and it can wound their spirit. There's some times some mamas can say some things to the children, if you're not careful, and they can wound some spirits and hurt some young hearts. And I think in this instance that David thought for a minute, you know, this is not what I asked for. I didn't think my brother would think such of me. He was going through some adversity. Now, he could have done one or two things. He could allow it to help him. He could learn from it and grow, or he could get bitter. I'm glad to say to you that David allowed himself to grow through adversity. You know, not only there, but we see his king also criticized his youthfulness. I'm sure the one he looked up to. I mean, the king. I mean, we're talking about the person with the most authority in the land, the most revered. And what did he have to say about him? "You're not ready. You're just a kid. You're just a youth. You've not proven. You're not a warrior. You're not trained." Adversity. Adversity. But what did David do? He grew through his adversity. You know, some of the greatest motivation for success is adversity. Brother Gomez, and you know Brother Gomez well, when Brother Gomez went to Northwest Bible Baptist Church, at the time he took the church, it was in Mount Prospect. It's in Elgin. He's moved a couple of different times. And when he went there, he was in Mount Prospect. And he was just getting started. And he went to a preacher that had established the church and had been there 20 years at the time and had a large work. And they had lunch together. And Brother Gomez was just trying to get acquainted with his brother and introduce himself and just try to build some fellowship there. And the guy told him this. He said, "You'll never build a church in these northwest suburbs." Brother Gomez said that was the greatest advice that I ever got. That was not what he was expecting. He was expecting, hey, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to encourage you. Maybe we'll even support you. But not, you'll never be able to work in the northwest suburbs. Mike Ray, you know Mike Ray. Hopewell Baptist Church in Napa, California. He hadn't been there but a few weeks. And a nationally known speaker was traveling through California. He used to have conferences. And he stopped in. He had previously been to that church on a couple of different occasions. Brother Ray had taken the church, and it was just a handful of folks there when he went. And they went out for a coffee, and they went out for some fellowship. And Brother Mike Ray was picking his brain, as he likes to say, getting some counsel and advice. And that man, that well-known preacher evangelist, said, "Brother, you made a terrible mistake." He had a position there in Baton Rouge. He was largest youth department in Louisiana at that time. I mean, he had kids in Bible college. He said, "Man, you made the biggest mistake of your life. You are going to never resurrect this thing." That's the best advice he ever got. Because he did resurrect it. Or not him, but God through him resurrected. And what God through Brother Gomez built in his building, a great work there in that Chicagoland area. Look, adversity can be a tremendous teacher. It depends upon your attitude. It depends upon your spirit. It depends on whether or not you can receive correction. Those of you that are aspiring to go into the ministry, you're going to make it or not make it based upon how you handle adversity and how you respond to instruction. Nothing will help you keep your shout any more than staying in the Father's will. And second, allowing adversity to motivate you to keep your shout. Hey, you'll soon find it's not about you or me. It's about Him. And once we understand it's about Him, well, we can march through the thrones of adversity. Let me give you one third point and I'll be done. If you want to keep your shout, you want to make sure that you align yourself with the Father's will. You want to grow. Allow yourself to grow from adversity. Then number three, you need to purpose to reaffirm your allegiance to God's cause. We see again in verse number 29, "And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause?" We need to see that this thing is bigger than just us. I think so many times as Christians, we're living for just today. We're living just for now. You know what really motivated me as a young person, as I sat in those youth conferences in Hammond, Indiana, and as I heard Brother Howes preach and I heard Brother Smith preach, they were always concerned about reaching that next generation. They were always concerned about what was going to happen beyond their life, what was going to take place in the lives of those that were coming after them. And they had given themselves to a cause. They had given themselves to honoring that King James Bible. They had given themselves to giving honor to salvation by grace through faith. They had given themselves to the local New Testament church. They had given themselves to the old time Baptist distinctives. They had given themselves to separated Christian living. They had given themselves and preached and sacrificed and gave and would not relent and would not recant. They stood firm. That's what we need. I'll never forget. I'd come in late. It was a Sunday night service. Off the buses when I was a college student at Hammond, Indiana, at Hiles Anderson at the time. We came in late. We were coming in. We were hurrying. Of course, you could hear from the speakers in the hallway and even outside when the doors were opening. And I'd hear Brother Hiles preaching. And I'd hear the shout. I'd hear the urgency in his voice. I would hear the fire. I would sense the passion. I would feel the anticipation. There he was, 60 plus years old, and he was preaching, and he had his shout, and he had his fervency, and he had the power of God, and he kept looking ahead. You know, Brother Smith, of course, reminds me a lot of Brother Hiles. You won't find a man that'll preach with as much fervency as he preaches. At nearly 70 years of age, preaching like a 20 or 30 year old man. Up here on the pulpit, I'm sure it doesn't appear that it bothers him that he could go. But I'd imagine after he gets in his chair and sits down, he feels a little aching. He feels a little pain, you know, a little soreness. It may be that. But I'll tell you what, he's got a shout, friend. He's got a shout. Hey, you know how he started this school, he started this college, he's got this church. I mean, I look and just good night. Man, I say, here's a guy. He's going after 2,600 or whatever it is on Friend Day. I'm thinking, when's it ever going to end? I don't think it ever is going to end until he gets to heaven. There's somebody's got to shout. Would to God. Would to God. As a young preacher looking to those examples, I could say, you know what? You can keep your shout. You can. If you make sure you align yourself in the will of God. If you purpose or allow yourself to grow from adversity, and if you will reaffirm your allegiance to the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, this is it. This is it. I was telling our church the other day, and I know it's here. I know it happens here. Man, our homes and our calendars, it ought to revolve around what's happening at the church. Most important thing, and our whole schedule ought to be what's happening right here at the church. You see, I love it when those kids, I know preacher and you parents are training your kids up right because they're learning to love the preacher. You know why? I think preacher's saying, I don't want them to lose the shout. My question to you is, before we close this message, how's your shout? Some may not have a shout at all. You may not be saved. You may need to be born again. Hey, this is the place. This is the place. This is the time. Hey, Jesus will save you. He'll take you right where you're at. You may be here today and you said, Brother Ballard, boy, I've kind of let my shout down. Or you may be here today and say, you know what, I've been kind of critical of others that have a little bit of fire. You may have allowed your shout to become a squeak. Or perhaps you're here and you say, Brother Ballard, bless the Lord, my shout is not going out. Thank God for it. Thank God for it. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed. I thank you for listening. It's a familiar message, a familiar story. But what a simple truth. David shouted for the battle. He had fire. He had desire. He had heart. He had spirit. He had some anticipation. He was expecting something to happen. You know, sometimes we don't get anything out of church anymore because we don't expect anything anymore. We're not anticipating anything anymore. We're not enjoying our service because our spirit has been affected by discouragement or some other thing has come up in our heart and life. I don't think that God's happy with that. I think we all, now again, please don't misunderstand, Brother Ballard. I'm not talking about wildfire and I'm not talking about just pure emotion. I'm talking about there's something in your heart, in your heart. Hey, don't let that fire die out for your Sunday school class, your bus route, or for the teenagers, or for the young adults, or for the missionary, or for the evangelist. Oh God, don't let our shout die out. There's a church in Louisiana. I used to go there occasionally as a kid. And I remember the singing. And I remember the preaching. And I remember the amens. But you know, there's no singing there anymore. There's no preaching there anymore. There's no shouts of amen anymore. Because the old shout died out. The old church is nothing but a vacant building now. Those pews are collecting dust. The piano's collecting cobwebs. All because some folks let the shout die out. Let's stand together for just a moment. Perhaps God spoke to your heart. There are some praying at the altar. Perhaps maybe you need to come, spend some time around the old-fashioned altar. Maybe you're here and you're not saved. Listen, this is the place to come. There'll be people down here at the front, take the Bible and show you how you can be born again. But listen, you do what God tells you to do. You let the Holy Spirit of God speak to you. As the piano begins to play and we sing, you do business with God.
Set my soul afire, Lord, for thy holy word. Burn it deep within me. Let your voice be heard.
What a good song.
Darkness in this day and hour, I will be your witness.
Here it is. We need the power of God. The shout comes when we spend time with God. It's the Holy Spirit of God, that fresh anointing that God gives. When we say, God, set my soul afire. It's time spent alone in God's Word. It's walking in that patch of woods. Driving the car, walking and saying, oh God, I need a fresh anointing. God, I need that fire. God, help me, I'm getting older. Maybe I can't do what I used to do, but God, I can still do something. Set me afire, Lord, let me burn. Let me burn. One more verse and then Brother Todd will come.